You're listening to Back to the Light with J.D. Rieger, Gonerfest 17 Spectacular. Hey everybody, welcome to yet another episode of Back to the Light. I am J.D. Rieger, and it's been an exciting few weeks for me in Back to the Light. Most importantly, I feel like the show is getting better. I'm really proud of the recent episodes and excited about the ones we have coming up. We also launched two new podcasts in the Back to the Light family, the Shangri-La Records podcast, which is a monthly thing I'm hosting, and the Jack Alberson Song Story, both of which you can find at backtothelight.net. Work is also picking up on the first proper Back to the Light Records release from Two Way Radio. I think we're planning on putting that out in November, God willing. And of course, we got that nice write-up in the Memphis Flyer, so suffice it to say, I'm feeling encouraged and feeling ready to keep things rolling. So let's do that. My guest this week is my friend Eric Friedel, a.k.a. Eric Oblivion. You know Eric as a member of the bands True Sons of Thunder and, of course, the Oblivions. He's also the co-owner of Goner Records, a store and record label in Memphis, Tennessee, that not only has a bunch of cool records out and coming out soon, but is also hosting the 17th installment of Goner Fest virtually this weekend, September 25th through 27th. You can find out more info at goner-records.com or gonerfest.com. Eric and I have a nice conversation about everything Goner has going on, and was also kind enough to send me a bunch of new Goner music to play on the show. Among what he sent is the title track from the new Reverend John Wilkins album, Trouble, which was just released on Goner. The song is absolute fire, so it seems like a good place for us to start. This is Trouble by Reverend John Wilkins.
We'll be right back. stopped in a furnace a long time ago. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Whoa, trouble. Trouble in my house. Turn to my right, y'all. Trouble in your house. I can't go back. Heal, then more heal. Standing at the crossroad, wondering which way to go. Trouble. Trouble in the White House. Turn to my right, y'all. Trouble in the schoolhouse. I can't go back. Heal, then more heal. Standing at the crossroad, I'm wondering which way to go.
And now, here's me and Eric Friedel.
All right. Well, thanks for being on the show, Eric.
Thanks, JD. Good to be back.
Yes. Welcome to the Two Timers Club.
Yeah. Two Timer. That doesn't sound good, but I'll take it. Whatever.
Tell me how you're doing. How's the pandemic been treating you and the store?
You know, we've actually been pretty lucky, and we've been hustling and getting all the assistance that we can. We've lucked into FedEx grant and the stuff from the government. While that lasted, kept our guys on payroll. And I mean, we just kind of scaled down, and it's worked so far. Our guys would rather have stayed at the shop than to be unemployed and get the $600, you know, a week check. So I know some people were laying people off for their own good, kind of thing. But we were lucky enough to keep everybody, and it's been okay. It's been, the store business has been down obviously a lot. We've gone to an appointment based thing where we have, you know, like two people an hour shopping in there. But our online business ramped up. We came up with a new website just in time, right before the everything hit. So that's been going really well, and we've been doing podcasts and video streaming,
yeah,
all kinds of fun stuff to try to keep people entertained and keep them thinking about Goner. It's been going really good. It has been very busy. We've had a bunch of releases. We held off on those at first because we didn't really know what was going to happen. But once we kind of figured out that people were at home looking for things to do and kind of to spend money on, we, you know, got everything in the pipeline, which we were not unique in that. There was tons of people that did the same thing. So things are backed up. But we've got the Archaeas and Reverend John Wilkins record coming out right now. Actually, today. It's the September, whatever it is. And September 18th. And
I can't wait to hear that Reverend John record. I'm excited about that.
It's so great. It's so great. And he's been battling COVID. He's been in the hospital, out of the hospital. He was just in the hospital again and just got out yesterday, which is great news. So it's been a very kind of emotional release. He's just fantastic, and the record's amazing, and it's been great to be able to put it out. I can't wait for people to hear it. It's a, you know, gospel blues record, but it's you know, I think it really appeals to anybody that likes that kind of R.L. Burnside, Junior Kimbrough, all the way through kind of more pop R&B stuff. Really, the great singing, and they recorded it Royal Studios with Boo Mitchell and Charles Hodges playing B3. I mean, it's just, you can't beat it.
Oh man, yeah, I loved his first record on Fat Possum, so I'm sure this next one's going to be good too.
Yeah, we got so into that record, and we had him play Gonerfest a couple times, and he just fit right in. You know, people just ate it up. So
yeah, we had him at Rock for Love too. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's such a good guy. You know, we were at the Buccaneer one time scouting out things for Gonerfest, and this guy pulls up all in black leather with his motorcycle helmet on this big old, you know, motorcycle, and he flips his visor up and he goes, "Hey guys," it was Reverend Wilkins.
Wow.
And we're just like, oh man, you couldn't get any cooler.
I think I watched some of that. Did he play a set at the Buccaneer? I think I watched some of that online from Shangri-La.
Yeah, he did Murphy's right at sunset, and
oh, that's right.
He Murphy's. Just had people. It was, you know, that's the third day of everybody festivaling, and everyone's emotions were raw, and he had people crying. It was very intense, and in a great way. I mean, people that never expected to be emotionally moved by the Southern gospel type of thing was just like, oh, okay, this is awesome.
Yeah, you don't have to have the faith to be moved by Reverend Wilkins.
No, it has the spirit, and it's fantastic. So, yeah, so we got that. We've got a new Quintron record coming out, and we're working on a Michael Beach record. He's from Australia that's coming. We've got just a lot of stuff in the pipeline. And Quintron Records, amazing. He recorded, Greg Cartwright produced, and he recorded with a full band at the studio down in Florida, and it is a monster rock record.
Oh man, sounds like things are going well for you guys. I'd love to hear that one too.
Yeah, we're keeping busy for sure. That's our thing.
Well, speaking of that, I guess we'll transition to Gonerfest, which is coming up next week as we're speaking, this week as the podcast will be released. When did you guys realize that it just wasn't going to be possible to do like a physical or in-person Gonerfest and start planning this virtual thing?
We really weren't smart enough to figure that out for a long time. Just, I guess, because no one really knew how everything was going to go. And then once we figured out that we probably could, we thought maybe we could do both. You know, people couldn't travel, but some people could still come here within, you know, 200 miles or whatever, kind of do a small trip. And then when we realized that wasn't going to work, we had to transition to online. And this week is just going to be very challenging. it seems like we should just be able to turn the camera on and let everything go from wherever people are. But we have some logistics challenges that we are working on that There's a reason why TV studios don't do it from a laptop. and we're trying to do 3 days of programming that with, you know, kind of technology that is really being developed at this level right now. They're just ramping it up. I mean, everybody knows Zoom and, you know, Microsoft, whatever, Classroom or whatever they're using. All that stuff is just, you know, because it's the only game in town. It's the technology is just progressing so fast. And the same thing with kind of home broadcasting. And it's really cool. Pretty much anybody can have a TV station, but there is a reason why they have these machines that can do all this heavy lifting. And we're running into some things that we're going to have to be pretty creative in figuring out.
Anything you can mention? Or
no. I mean, there's just a... It might just be a visualization thing. We might be better off than we think we are, or we might be worse off than we think we are. We're testing it now, and it's challenging. We're starting off with a stage in New Zealand. So our friends [S2] Wow. [S1] In New Zealand are not as on. They are on. Lockdown now, but we thought, oh, New Zealand actually is open. They were open for a minute. And so we were talking to them, and there's a bunch of people that come to Gonerfest every year, a bunch of bands that we know down there. And they said, yeah, we'll do a stage. So we are opening it up and then throwing it to New Zealand. So if the technology, if the streaming isn't working, we're going to know it right away. we've done that kind of thing
before. Straight into the deep end there.
Yeah, just dive in, fall flat on your face. We've been really supported by people that want to participate in Gonerfest, whatever it is online. I think we've got a really cool assortment of things to offer. We've got, you know, debuts of movies that haven't shown. Tyler Keith's got a movie on Delta Gospel Blues that he did his master's fine arts degree was basically that movie. We've got this movie on the Country Teasers Oblivion's tour from 94 that is just playing festivals, and they let us premiere it in the United States. And then we've got 32 bands or whatever from all over the world and other things. But we're really kind of trying to play up the social interaction, just like a Gonerfest. The music is fun, but really people come back for Memphis and for the people that, you know, they've got to hang out with the last year, the last 10 years or whenever they came the last time. So we're trying to bring Memphis to people in a way and bring the Gonerfest experience to them as much as you can through a, you know, screen.
Yeah, you're doing some like special like virtual chat rooms and stuff like that to sort of simulate the group experience, right?
Trying to. And, you know, that's another thing we don't really know. It depends on the audience, really. But a lot of Gonerfest is like that. You know, we kind of set it in motion, and then it's really the people that come that make it happen. So if you have a chat room and no one wants to chat, you know, it's not going to work. But if you have people that, you know, are excited to see people they see once a year and can kind of bring the party that way. Our idea is to be chatting and watching and, you know, not having to pay attention for the entire broadcast festival or whatever, just like a real festival, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Are there any particular sets or bands you're looking forward to that you want to plug?
You know, it's a really cool mix of things. All the New Zealand bands are really good. The Bloodbags have played Gonerfest, and they're playing in the first thing. There's a band, Guardian Classifieds, that's playing, that's really great. We got the Malenas from Spain that just had a record out on Trouble in Mind. All girls. It's really cool, kind of, you know, pop stuff in a way, harder edged pop. The Cheater Slicks are playing. They're just a legendary kind of sludgy, unclassifiable garage punk band from Columbus, Ohio. We got The Rebel, who's Ben Wallers from the Country Teasers, who is doing some kind of live thing on the Saturday afternoon. We're hoping it's music. It might be him sorting papers or something. It's been very cryptic dealing with Ben, but we're really looking forward to that. And
what about got, Memphis folks?
Yeah, we've got Jack O and the Sheiks playing on top of a large building in Memphis. It should be awesome. What else? True Sons of Thunder are supposed to be playing. That's another logistical nightmare. All be in the same place at the same time.
I was going to ask if you had members traveling, I guess.
Yeah, Sam's in Kansas City and Abe's in New Orleans, and Joe is working 28 hours a day. So, and I'm in the middle of a festival, so it's exciting. Richard is available though.
How is Rich Wad?
He is the Wad. He is great.
Give him my best.
I will. Yeah, we're looking forward to. We always have such a good time together. Just hanging out and doing whatever, so it'll be fun. And we're trying to get Sean Cripps out to do Lime's set. What else? It's weird when we ended up doing all this stuff. The Memphis stuff was a little bit lighter than usual, So that was kind of unusual. We got Aquarian Blood playing. I think we're going to get an Optic Sync set, and the Archaeas are playing. They're Louisville, but we're feeling like they're locals now. They're in town a whole lot, and this young band, Big Clown, is playing. Who played just ridiculously fast punk. I think their set's about 10 minutes, but it feels like about three.
Are they a Memphis band?
Yeah, they're from Memphis. They're younger.
I don't know them.
Yeah, younger folks. This girl Lucy's the singer. She's teaching. I think she's teaching high school in Mississippi now, but she went to school at University of Memphis. And yeah, they're great. We did a show with Let's Goes from Japan and Big Clown at DKDC, and they just annihilated the place. It was great.
Time out. Before we hear a quick commercial and then the rest of the interview with Eric Friedel and some Goner Records music, I have to ask you to check out patreon.com/JD Rieger. That's patreon.com/JD Rieger, and become a supporter of me and the show. Subscribers to the Patreon page can get access to this show ad-free, exclusive music content, and more. Also, a few free ways to support the show include subscribing to the podcast, liking or sharing us on social media, or simply sending a link to the podcast to a friend you think might like it. Every little bit helps. And now here's the ad.
Tell me about the different like ticket tiers and options for people who want to participate and, you know, virtually attend Gonerfest this year.
Yeah, so we've done these bigger festival type of things where everybody is playing for free and it's kind of a mess and everybody's kind of begging for money, and there's no sponsorship. If you had a sponsor that would, you know, pay money for these bands to do all this effort and people actually stream this stuff, that would be one thing. But we really didn't want to have to beg the whole time for people to the sports stuff that they wanted to support anyway. So we made it a paid ticket. It's $20 to see everything, all the movies and all the bands, as much as you can stand. And that just goes to paying people. I mean, we usually have a ticket that's $75 almost for the same thing, that goes to the bands and goes to putting on the festival. So, It's and then we had a $50 ticket where you get the same thing and a t-shirt and a drink koozie, and everybody that does it gets a sticker pack, a sticker sheet, which I was rolling my eyes at this idea of a sticker sheet. We were going to do wristbands and send out wristbands, and we tossed out, well, let's just do a sticker wristband. I was like, oh, okay. And then they came back with all these stickers that are, it's like a piece of Gus's fried chicken, a sticker of Payne's barbecue, a sticker that's the wristband, the lamplighter jukebox. It is so cool. And
isn't there a Rodney sticker also?
That's another thing, is we started off with this art show that we were going to do. Our friend Rich Evans from Total Punk has been doing he wanted to learn how to paint, so he decided to paint a Rodney Dangerfield portrait every day this year. And that sort of morphed into sculptures and puppets and masks and things. But he's done a Rodney Dangerfield thing every day this year.
Wow.
And we wanted to do a virtual art gallery. And I looked at virtual art galleries, and they were nice and they were fun. And then I thought, well, this is like Doom. You know, could we make it a video game? And Robert Watson Craig III, a.k.a. Buck Biloxi, said, I think I could do that. So he put all these paintings inside a video game. And we've been going back and forth on how difficult this video game is. So I think we've scaled it back to basically an art gallery inside a video game without people shooting you within 3 seconds, so that you can actually see the art. But
was there a point at which there was heavy combat or something?
Oh yeah, yeah. And so I think we're treating this like a prototype, and the full video game art gallery combat version is to come. But it is incredible. Rich has knocked it out of the park. We have a promo video that'll be up this week that is just they have a complete mythology based around this thing where it's the future and Rodney Dangerfield. Things have gone horribly wrong, and instead of getting no respect, everyone respects Rodney Dangerfield, and you have to restore the natural balance, and that is sort of the goal of the video game somehow. It is whacked out and really, really fun.
I love Rodney. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. So that's just another thing we're throwing in there. You get to see, however, it's over 200 Rodney Dangerfield portraits if you want to look at all of them. It's really cool.
Have you guys been seeing a lot of engagement from the podcast and the Goner TV and the streaming stuff you've been participating in throughout this pandemic?
Yeah, it's been good. It's it's been hard to kind of gauge a lot of the stuff, because as you're doing it, you're looking at it as, oh, there's 100 people looking at it, but then that stuff goes online and then it gets out to different audiences after that. So
it continues to live.
Right. And that's another thing about the festival. We're not really doing that to be like live. It's sort of a one-off thing where you have to be there to see it.
I was going to ask if any of it was going to be available on demand, or if it was just going to be all live. You have to be there at a scheduled time.
Yeah, that would be an option if we had time to figure all that out. But as it is, we're streaming it in a way that I think bands will have access to their sets, but it's not like immediately up on YouTube for everyone to watch. It's sort of,
right,
you know, which is fine, but it's sort of not the point of this thing, you know, where you sort of have to pony up to participate. And I think that's okay. We're, you know, we go back and forth on all this stuff. Sometimes it seems like a great idea. Sometimes it seems like you're excluding people that want to participate, but we're learning as we go. We're learning a lot.
Do you think once things, you know, open back up or return to normal, whatever, however you want to say it, do you think that the streaming sort of integrated approach will continue even once you're able to do live shows in person again?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's something that connects you to people all over the world, and that's kind of what we've been able to do with the festival and the label. So it makes sense that, you know, that this thing is kind of here to stay. Maybe not as the only way to do things. Obviously, touring and live shows, people are just dying for that, and that's just a huge thing. But you know, I was kind of, I mean, the festivals that we've done have been kind of hit or miss. It is really hard to connect with music as it's coming out of a screen or whatever. But we did the Raining Sound show from B-Side, who had been doing streaming for a while and had a nice setup, and it really worked. It was really fun to watch them play the songs. Sound was good, and it seemed like a show. Yeah, you know, and it seemed like, it's not the same thing, but it's fun. So I think if you figure things out, if there's a standard kind of thing that comes along, like right now, I don't really think there's a standard kind of baseline thing, where like this is standard operating procedures for this kind of thing. Everybody is figuring out as we go. And sometimes it works better than others. It depends on stream strength, and you know, it's just so many different factors. But if you can get those a little bit more standardized and figure things out, I think it's a good option. You know, people watch TV, people are watching YouTube all day long, and if you're giving them a good product, why not? You know,
in a weird way, I've actually been watching more live Memphis music since since the shutdowns and stuff, because like almost every night someone is doing some kind of live stream, and you know, I've quite enjoyed it from, you know, my couch in Chicago.
Yeah, it is fantastic, and people are really stepping up, and you know, it's great to see everybody doing what they can. Graham Winchester from his bathtub was fantastic. So
yeah. Well, one last thing I'll ask you about. Once again, when things open back up, do you think there'll be any shot of getting some more Oblivions live shows or recordings or anything like that?
I hope so. You know, we tried to get Compulsive Gamblers to do this Goner Fest thing, and Greg just couldn't swing it. He's recorded a new Raining Sound thing.
Yeah, I've been talking to Jeremy and Alex.
Yeah, and you know, we're still up for doing shows and things when it makes sense and when we can. We're all doing different things and everything, but we'd love to get back out there and do some shows.
Cool. Well, I hope that you get to Chicago.
Yeah, I hope so too. Chicago's always been great.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks so much for joining me on the show. Is there anything else you want to mention? Obviously, GonerFest.com is where people can check out the show this weekend.
GonerFest.com will get you there. And the tickets, if you go there, tickets are available. We'll get you your T-shirt as fast as we can. We've got a backlog. We're trying to get out. A lot more people are signing up than we anticipated, which is great. And you know, our idea was everybody has their festival T-shirt on while they're watching the festival, so that's what we're aiming for.
Ironically, I'm actually wearing my Goner shirt while I'm speaking to you now. I didn't plan it, but it happened.
Awesome! I'm wearing a Goner Fest T-shirt just because it was clean.
Yeah, sweet.
All right, thanks, JD. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, man. Same. Thank you for joining us.
All right. Take care.
Now let's hear three more songs that Eric sent in. All three of these acts, by the way, will be appearing at GonerFest 17. The first thing we're going to hear is a new song by Eric's band, True Sons of Thunder, one of my favorites all time in Memphis. This song is called Wet Bat Attack.
First you get a plastic bag, fill water in the bag. Then you freeze the bat. Plastic bat attack! The
after that, fill water in the bag. Then you freeze the bag. Plastic bag attack.
Next up is the song Reality Commander by the Archaeas, a new goner band from Louisville, Kentucky. Their self-titled album is out now, and I really like what I've heard of them so far. Again, this is Reality Commander by the Archaeas. Last but not least is Optic Sync, a new Memphis band featuring Natalie from Knots and Ben from the Magic Kids. Their self-titled album comes out October 2nd on Goner. This is Exhibitionist. We'll be right back. Okay, that's the show. Thanks to Eric Friedel and Goner Records. Be sure to check out Gonerfest at gonerfest.com this weekend. That's September 25th through 27th. Thank you, of course, for listening. Thank you to Arthur with two H's for the opening theme song. Thank you to Joey Pegram for his version of the closing theme song. And until next time, take care, y'all. Part of the Back to the Light Podcast Network at backtothelight.net.